Coming up on show 981, Hyundai's Ioniq 5 is seen driving around on public streets and stalked by a YouTuber. So we have a nice long video to talk about today. Plus on the podcast, the Nissan Leaf 10 is launched. Tesla launched their in-house collision repair. And Korea launching a lot more car chargers. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for what happened on Tuesday, 2nd of February. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. So we'll start with this video that's been released online, just a YouTuber who drives a Tesla Model 3 by the look of the shots, because you can see the screen and the inside of the car. They have seen a Ioniq 5 charging and driving around in South Korea, and so they kind of followed it, and it was in stop-start traffic, so they weren't exactly stalking it dangerously, but we got a nice long look at the car. So what did we learn? Well, it's scheduled to debut later this month. We know that Feb is when Hyundai have said they're going to launch the Ioniq 5, and they are now testing their hatchback 5, which is the production version of the Concept 45, on public roads. Now, we've seen lots of unofficial encounters so far, lots of spy shots on the usual automotive websites. According to Motor1.com, the 12-minute video shows a Tesla Model 3 owner practically stalking the Ioniq 5, the prototype that's driving around the city of Bundanggu, one of South Korea's wealthiest and highest developed areas. The footage online provides a really close look at the rear end of the electric vehicle, because this person follows it down the road for, like I say, a good 10 minutes, with the tail lights, known as the Pixelar tail lights, made up of lots of little pixel squares, and I really like the look of them. We get to see the pop-out door handles that are part of the production model standard equipment, and as standard, the hatch is expected to gain a dual motor setup and a fast charging option. We think it's going to be fast charging because it's based on an 800 volt architecture. It's the first of the cars built on this brand new platform, and the Concept 45 was certainly one of those slightly way out concept cars, look like a little mini hatchback version of a Cybertruck when they released it in silver. But many of the design points on that concept car have made it through to the prototype. Like the wheels look identical, running on Michelins, they're 20-inch wheels, they look exactly the same as the concept car, and that's no bad thing. The pop-out door handles look like they're working because the YouTuber comes across it when it's plugged in, not plugged into a charger, but just there's like an adapter hanging out of the car, but not actually plugged in. A bit weird, but anyway. So lots of close-ups of the charge port area, which seems to have a illuminated area around the charge port with a series of lights to indicate the battery level. So that's quite nice. Obviously, you can look at the dash to get an exact reading, but you could just tell by the lights, the little readout by the plug socket, how full or empty your battery is. That's pretty cool. Also, like I said, the main feature is the front lights and the rear lights, and they are these lots of little squares all together to make a kind of pixelated effect. The rear light, we don't see it indicating, but I'm guessing because the rear lights are a strip of kind of pixel dots in red, that also that there's going to be some sort of indicator, yellow or red flashing light around that. Half of it's on the boot, and of course when you lift the boot up, it's a hatchback, so then for a lot of local regulations around the world, you still have to have rear tail lights visible so that people don't crash into you if you're parked up at night and you open your boot. And then the other half of the light's actually on the outside of the rear panels of the car. That is the standout distinctive feature. Driving around the roads of this city amongst normal traffic, it does look like a reasonably sized car. There's lots of kind of SUVs, a couple of Toyota kind of crossovers that seem to be on the road next to it. And it fits in pretty well, not overly large, but not overly small. Looks like a pretty reasonable crossover style car that will fit many, many people's preferences. So that car gets unveiled in Feb. It looks finished. It was covered in camo, by the way, but it looks finished. And it's one of the cars that I'm most excited about this year. Hyundai have so far made some brilliant cars, whether that is their sister companies through Kia as well, but also the Kona, the Niro, the Soul EV, or the eSoul, careful how you say that, are all really good EVs and are basically sharing a platform with combustion cousins as well. These new cars are based on a pure electric platform. And man, that gets me excited because it means they're doing it from the ground up, blank sheet of paper, a pure EV, and they're always better when you do that. Next, we'll talk Nissan, a car that's been selling the Leaf for over 500,000 Leafs around the world, and they're now introducing the Leaf 10. It's a special edition of the EV to celebrate 10 years on sale as the first mass market pure EV in the world, available in European dealerships from this month, February. The Leaf 10, says this press release that I've been sent by Nissan, a bold new body colour in the Nissan palette, complemented by exquisite patterns detailing on the exterior. So there you go, in Nissan's own words. They say the Leaf 10 enhances the model's comprehensive suite of technologies, featuring in-car Wi-Fi, ideal for families and those on the move. There's a range of utilities with the Nissan Connect Services smartphone app, they say, which allows owners to control key features remotely, like monitoring the battery charge level, locking or unlocking the car, and also, you know, heating or cooling. Many of my friends who have Leafs say, yeah, that's nice. They've built the app to do it. The servers never work. So if you wake up on a really cold morning and everyone goes online to go, oh, the car's icy, I'll open up the Nissan app and defrost it. My Twitter feed, my Facebook feed, from the kind of people in that I follow, a lot of them own Nissan Leafs, are always saying, yeah, doesn't work again today. This winter, I've seen less of it than previous year, so maybe that's fixed. I'd love to hear from you if you're one of those Leaf owners that goes, no, it's cold, the app isn't working, the server is overloaded. It's all in the cloud. Just buy more capacity, guys. Come on, Nissan. They've added Wi-Fi to the car, so up to 7 different devices can connect to the 4G connection inside the Nissan Leaf, and also the ProPilot, the e-pedal technologies, all that kind of stuff there is all in the Leaf 10. There's also intelligent blind spots intervention, the IBS technology. So there you go. The great thing about the Leaf is it's available and it's affordable and it's a great size for families, and there's a ton of room inside it. Actually, if you've never seen the Leaf with the boot open, it's cavernous in there. Technology's pretty good. There's CHAdeMO chargers everywhere. CHAdeMO is super reliable. But that's my frustration with Nissan right now, is that, you know, the Aria gets all of the attention. I've seen that they've done some YouTube videos. Johnny Smith got access to an Aria a little while ago. His video's done like 300,000 views. There's so much interest in Nissan EVs, and that was just the last time I looked at his view count. So clearly, you know, I look at these videos and I'm like, okay, so what are people getting hits on? What are the YouTube videos that are getting a ton of traction and people are watching? And the Nissan videos do. You know, I do some work with Inside EVs, and their Nissan Aria video, their first walk around they had months ago, is their most popular video of recent times. So clearly people love Nissan, they're interested, they're curious. And I just think the Nissan with the Leaf, it's just the forgotten, unwanted stepchild of that relationship in the Nissan, Renault, Mitsubishi alliance. It's done a job for them and it kind of feels forgotten. And they've had their 10th anniversary and they've gone, right, here's the Leaf 10. What have we added? A bold new colour to choose from. Come on, Nissan. They've got the people, the tech, the knowledge to do better than this. It just kind of, I find it's frustrating because the Leaf is so good. It could just be, better. But anyway, it's still a great car, whatever you feel about it. The Aria is coming this summer, and I think it's Q3, Q4, the Aria is coming. It's not the new Leaf. It's bigger, it sits in a different segment, it's a different price, it's an EV from the ground up. I think the Leaf probably has 2, 3, 4 years left in it. It's still a really good EV if they continue to show it some love. Please, Nissan, keep on loving that car. Of course, it's made here in the UK in the Sunderland factory as well. So I love it for that reason as well. Okay, moving on. Tesla have announced the arrival of their in-car collision repair and the official start of their in-house collision repair business after gradually launching some services over the last few years and ramping it up slowly. And they hope it'll slash repair delays. It's one of the things, again, from my friends that have owned Teslas and had either a simple knock or a bump or something bigger. Teslas get written off a lot of the time by insurance companies because the cost of replacing them is just too high. And that's partly to do with the fact that external body shops and external repairers have had to do that work. It's prohibitively expensive to get the car back on the road, which is maddening, because that's not good for the planet. Well, according to Fred at Electrek over the weekend, Tesla was sending some push notifications to Tesla owners to let them know that collision repair is here. On top of the previously mentioned repairs, Tesla now lists some more extensive collision repairs. They'll do suspension. They'll do axle damage. What else? Obviously, stuff like front and rear bumpers, the bonnet, the lift gate, the side mirrors, the doors, wheels, the glass repair, all done now in-house by Tesla. Owners can schedule, as is the way it's going, an appointment on your Tesla app. On the earnings call last week, who was it? It might have been Zach Kirkhorn. Somebody on the call, one of the senior managers, it wasn't Elon Musk, because I remember the stuff that he said, but one of the others said, we want to move everything as much as possible into the app. It's better than giving us a call. There's a written record of all our communications, and we can just communicate better if you use the app, and you can even schedule an appointment from that, and it's all just in one place. Owners can do that on your app direct and then get worked on by Tesla technicians themselves. Now, the automaker claims it'll result in an optimized repair flow, and it's one of those things that, you know what, once again, they bring another thing in-house. And so once again, they vertically integrate more, and so much is done by Tesla. Now, the third-party repair shops, in their defense, would say, yes, it took 3 months to fit a small fender bender on a Tesla because we cannot get the parts. And I've heard third-party repair shops for a long time moan about the fact that Tesla's supply of parts was just terrible. Tesla themselves saying they've bought that in-house and they're going to have an increased amount of inventory at those service centres and have more stock on the shelves so that they can get you in and out in a much quicker time and those parts are there waiting. Makes sense. I mean, look, let's face it. Whether you have an S, a 3, or an X, or a Y, yes, I did do that in the correct order, there's a very small amount of colours and a very small amount of options for those cars. It's not like there's a massive options list and a huge amount of paints. You know, you can have stuff on the shelves and not have a crazy amount of inventory sitting in stock, which is obviously for any business. It's just money tied up that you're not spending on growing or investing. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about Chinese makers next. NIO and XPeng, or XPeng, are having a strong set of sales once again. They've now got the January numbers in. Goodness, that was quick. It's only the 2nd of February. We are talking about China here. And there's no pause in China's EV market after the 2020 boom. NIO have erased any of the losses in their stock price. And now in January, they're growing their car sales as well. 352% year on year. Wowzers. Over 7,000 NIOs sold last month. The EC6 is a crossover style car, only officially launched at the end of 2020 and outselling the two older SUV models. It's now individually 40% of all NIO sales, the EC6. Last year, NIO did about 44,000 units in context. Says Investors Business Daily, XPeng Motors grew their sales year on year 470% to 6,000 EVs. The P7 is the sedan that launched at the end of last year as well. That outsold the G3. Now, the G3 is the compact SUV. And I'm telling you this because these are cars that could well, if not come to North America, certainly come to Europe. These Chinese EV startups have got a big market to fill in their home territory, but have also got more than one eye set on selling these cars in Europe. XPeng sales last year, I think, were about 27,000 odd, a bit smaller than NIO. And just to put that into context, on the earnings call last week, Tesla saying that they are now consistently at 5,000 vehicles a week coming out of Shanghai. So that's 250,000 vehicles a year. Again, to put it in context, the numbers are pretty mega in China for Tesla. Let's talk Ford next. I'm excited about the Mustang Mach-E finally coming to the UK. None delivered here, as far as I know, in right-hand drive versions. And actually, the Mustang Mach-E, a bit like the ID4 and the ID3 from Volkswagen, taking a leaf out of the Apple mobile phone playbook, even the Tesla playbook, in terms of ordering. So if you go online to order a Ford Mustang Mach-E here in the UK, the one thing that is frustrating is the cars are called different things to North America. So again, that is a legacy car making hangover where the marketing departments were pretty much siloed and there was lots of autonomy and local control. So the US would say, you know, we're going to call our, you know, our range of cars, you know, you could call it like budget and luxe. And then the European division of a car maker go, well, we're going to have the same specs, but we're going to call it Inspire and Invite or something. Like, there'd be different names, which, again, is frustrating. It's a global economy now. We're not fooled by it. And so it's easier just to have, you know, just be a global company. But the Ford Configurator, I really like it. It's super simple. You go online and the first thing that you say is with the Mustang Mach-E, do you want the rear-wheel drive or do you want the all-wheel drive? And then when you've made your choice, you get the next page. And so I want the all-wheel drive. Do you want the small battery or the big battery? And that's it. And that's great. And then there's lots of information. Ford have done a good job of explaining the EV bits of the Mustang Mach-E. Last time I looked, they were explaining the charging, saying, look, the small battery is 115 kilowatt charge speeds. The big battery is 150. There's a few colours, maybe six or seven last time I looked. It was a while ago now. And then one interior. And that's it. That's it. It's great. Nice and simple. At the size of the charging network that you are now able to use with the Ford system has just increased too. Ford, in their press release that I got, said the size of the charging network available to EV drivers has now increased threefold. Yeah, that's sort of not true. The size of the charging network available to Ford drivers is always the same. You can charge wherever there is electricity. And I hear that electric's quite common these days. Lots of people have it at their homes as well. So that's not true. It's like that first line makes it sound like, hey, Ford have put new chargers in. They haven't. Let me tell you what they've done. Is they've done a deal with BP Pulse, which is the new name for ChargeMaster. And so by adding the BP Pulse network to the Ford little car dongle that you get, what they're saying is you get access to more of our partners. It's called the Ford Pass Charging Network. And more companies are doing this so that they realise the early adopters have got their EVs and they're fine, but the next range of people buying electric cars need their hand held a little bit more than early adopters. That's fine. It's the adoption curve. We expect it. And so a lot of them have their own cards and stuff. And so there's the Ford Pass Charging Network. That gives you access to about 9,500 charge points if you want your billing all done by that. Of course, it doesn't mean you can only use them. But anyway, what opened my eyes to it recently is I had that car for a month from Onto, the subscription service, and I will have that review coming soon of not only the new Jaguar I-Pace, also we'll chat to someone from the business to talk about whether subscription models are good for EVs and a good way to get into an EV. But halfway through, they sent me their new Jaguar I-Pace, an amazing car. And then they sent me the... So I had the card for BP Pulse because it came in the glove box. So I could use any of those ones, all free, all included. And then they sent me a Shell card. And I was like, okay, it's nice. And I looked at what you get with the Shell card. And that included the Ionity network, again, which is pretty expensive, but all included, all charging for free on the Shell card. And there was loads of networks on that one. I'm like, oh, I have to get myself one of these cards. Because, again, super useful. Wave your card. Don't bother with apps and stuff like that when you pull up in the rain. It just makes it nice and easy. Well, Mustang Mach-E owners get a year's free access to BP Pulse. And you can use any of their chargers. Some of those 150-kilowatt DC chargers will be very nice on the Mustang Mach-E. In South Korea, they're adding 3,000 new rapid charging stations for EVs by the end of the year, expanding their facilities, according to the finance ministry yesterday, says the Korea Herald newspaper. The government is deploying 2,280 charging stations themselves, and also they're helping other third-party companies add another 300 units at things like gas stations with government subsidies. They're also supporting private operators to install locations that are more accessible in profitable areas, and the government, I say themselves, putting in chargers at things like service facilities and express stations. Staying with charging, Volkswagen's Dieselgate subsidiary Electrify America, the company set up with the "you did a very bad thing" VW money, has launched a new business, and it's called Electrify Commercial. EC is charged with, providing the equipment, like charging equipment and services, to businesses, utilities and government agencies. The latest client is Arizona. Reports Electrify Commercial struck a deal with the Arizona Public Service Company, they say, with its Take Charge investment. That's puntastic today. The project includes 5 new charging stations with 4 individual chargers each for a total of 20 ultra-fast chargers across the state of Arizona. Volkswagen announcing the recent launch of Electrify Commercial, a new unit which helps to Electrify America to deploy charging solutions. That's really fascinating how these different businesses are enabling more chargers to get out there. And, you know, we really must have the guys from nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com on the show. You hear them as a sponsor every day of the show. They're all about the hardware to make this happen, and they'd have some great insights. So let's make that happen on a Saturday show. Finally, in South Korea, SK Innovation is the battery company from there, but we're talking about European investment this time, another battery plant being built in Hungary. Now, we heard Elon Musk say last week on the earnings call, we'd do more at Tesla if we could get the batteries. We have more semi-trucks on the road already, if we could get the batteries. We're delaying Cybertruck, we haven't got the batteries. Roadsters pushed back, the batteries weren't ready. SK Innovation is building another massive battery plant in Europe in response to the rapid expansion of companies saying, we want more batteries. SK Innovation announcing a couple of days ago a $1.2 billion subsidiary in Hungary to build a new battery plant, says businesskorea.co.kr. SK Innovation's third EV battery plant in Europe is being built in Hungary with a capacity of 30 gigawatt hours, a wee bit smaller than Tesla's Nevada facility. SK Innovation completed a 7.5 gigawatt hour battery plant in Hungary at the end of 2019. That's now in operation. The second one is a 9.8 gigawatt hour plant and comes online about this time next year, I believe. And finally, what to watch if you've got some time on YouTube. I'll pop a link to the latest Car Wow video. Now, I do love the Car Wow videos. Matt Watson, a pretty funny presenter. They edit the videos really well as well. And they've taken out a brand new Tesla Model 3 Performance, the new one with black trim, double glazing, and all the bells and whistles, and he loves it. But he does point out, the black trim inside, all the woodwork, the nasty wood in the Model 3 is gone. It's all replaced with Alcantara. He says, the owner did that. Well, I can tell you that if you watch that video, and over a million people have done, the owner is Richard, who is another sponsor of this show. Yeah, Richard Simons from RSEV. Came off the boat recently, and he did some modifications, and it's now shown up in a Car Wow video. So you can go and see his very own, it's his personal driver as well. So you can go see Richard's car featured, and Richard a couple of times gives you a wave in the background too. All right, question of the week. Get your answers in. I'll read them out on Sunday. Have you seen the social media meme of putting two photos side by side? Something in the past and something now too. And they're always subtitled, how it started, how it's going. And people use it as an example of showing progress, right? So, I don't know, picture of you as a kid or something and now, doing what you do now or something like that. So I thought we'd do a version of that social media meme. So send me, in words though, not pictures, how it started and how it's going. How did your EV journey start? And then how's it going? So, for me, how it started was watching a fully charged video. How it's going? Well, 1,000 podcasts of my own later, and an EV, my second EV in the driveway. So what's yours? Maybe you're saving up to buy your first EV, maybe a plug-in hybrid. But how did the journey start for you? How it started, how it's going? Let me know. You can email, my personal address is hello@evnewsdaily.com, and I look forward to hearing from you, and I'll read out yours on Sunday. There are 980 shows in the archive as we barrel towards 1,000. If you want to get any of them on the blog, it's ev.news. You can check out the Patreon page. and we have a new premium partner to welcome to the show very soon. But for now, it's Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley and the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, our guest from last Saturday. If you haven't heard his interview yet, go check it out in the archive. And Richard, who I mentioned, at rsev.co.uk. If you fancy buying an EV in the UK, check out his website. Have a wonderful day. Catch you tomorrow. And do remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.